It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 6th day of July, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between, yes. And if you should happen to wander by there just right now as the program begins live, well, you will be met by early arrivers, Jeremy in Vermont, who just got us started on fundraising for the evening. Thank you, Jeremy. And Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, and Stockton Larry. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has just the same refrained from folding space into the blazing heart of a small star called Sol. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and oh my God, have we got Titanic intellect to talk about tonight. I think it is entirely possible that I could fill a Robster this evening all the way to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and never pull up short for content. Holy mackerel. Wow. I mean, this is a pileup of stupid, like we often have on Moran Mondays, but God, that's like, I mean, we have a pileup on Moran Monday because there's Saturday and Sunday, and it usually starts on Friday, and that's why Monday is the way it is, but this is just a 24-hour news cycle to get to here. And I mean to tell you, there is Titanic intellect all over the place. I kid you not. Well, thank you very kindly, Steve in New York. All clear here, Steve says. The new flagellate and Knutton valve are working swimmingly, and there is no derpahexafluorine on the floor or anything. So that's a win. That's a win. Of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. We have thanks to send out for our, or to our, 6th day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means thanks ever so kindly to our pal Don in West Tennistan. And thank you to Kitty in Boston. And thank you to Michael in Madison. And thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you to Bob. Thank you, Bob, very kindly. And thank you to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. And thank you to John. And that means that we've got $295 to raise this evening. And tomorrow will be a no-go. I took a look at the schedule and what I can expect. And so my appointment is at 3:30 tomorrow in Beckley. So there's every reason to think that will not happen in a timely fashion, which means I'll be probably in my appointment until 5, which means that I will not be home till 6. And no, just no program tomorrow, because that means I'll be flying through the door and won't have a chance to adequately prepare for the program. So no prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. My apologies. Some of these things are unavoidable. I wish they were avoidable, because I would far prefer to be on the air. But they're unavoidable. And so consequently, after this evening's program, back for Thorn in the Side Thursday, and where are the weeks going? You know, I got to thinking about that. Where does the time go? Because I think all of us, or most of us, I think it would at least be a consensus, if not a majority, and I suspect a majority, can look back to the heady days of our early years on this planet, individually, and remember how summer days would seem to last forever, and how the days between, say, Thanksgiving and Christmas crept by, or the days leading up to one's birthday. And I thought maybe, you know, it seems illusory at first, but then you realize when you're young, the days are larger percentages of your overall lived life. And so it does go faster as one gets older. I think it does. Because, we will soon be at the halfway mark of summer. And I've barely warmed up from last sloppy, slushy, frozen, miserable winter. Yes, one might, Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, one might even say that the days are long and the years are short. You're here. Exactly. Sparky would rather have no program at all tomorrow than what he calls religious crap. Well, yeah, kind of. But you know what? We can always ignore the religion industry and, you know, wait until they just take over the country. And then everybody will go, wait, where were we? Well, we didn't want to talk about religious crap. So there's that. But, you know, we'll be back to prayer meeting Wednesday. And who knows? Maybe there'll be some preemptive prayer meeting Wednesday stuff on this Tuesday, or maybe some on Thursday. Because in this country, a country run by, in large part, too many the functional equivalent of Iranian mullahs, you know, the functional evangelical Christian equivalent of Iranian mullahs, they never take a day off. We just happen to do all the stuff mostly on Wednesdays to get it out of the way. Yeah, I'm almost sure, in fact, there will be the religion industry crap either today or Thursday or both. Randy in PA says, I just tuned in. You replaced your flagellate plate and Knutton valve? Well, we had to, because remember last week it was leaking? Yeah, because there wasn't a proper interface, and that wound up with dexaherpafluorotine, herpadexafluorotine, derpa whatever. Yeah, all over the place. Been mopping for a week. As Steve in New York points out, oh, those halcyon days of listening to the Calliope. I know. But we get the Calliope on Mondays. Mm-hmm. We do. So anyway, we've got we have titanic intellect to go for a month of Sundays today. Let's get started. So the Pentagon has directed its commands, the Army in particular, has directed its commands to prepare to give mandatory COVID-19 vaccines early as September the 1st to people in the ranks, both non-com and commissioned, right? That'll happen after the Food and Drug Administration gives complete and thorough and total approval to the administration of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because it's probably a good idea. I mean, you don't want to, have a situation where the command comes down, Sergeant, take your platoon and take that hill. And the sergeant says, I can't, Sergeant. I
against the Rona.
You know, having one's military force laid low by communicable diseases is just not, it's not compatible with the idea of military readiness. And having a healthy fighting force is one of the oldest and most important aspects of having a fighting force at all. I think it was Pompey Magnus's daddy, Pompey Carnifex, Pompey the Butcher, and he had a formidable fighting force in ancient Rome, and they were laid low by dysentery, because you have to make sure that you dig your latrine pits downstream from your military's encampment. Otherwise, you know, things like dysentery and cholera and things like that can break out in camp, and that just really takes the vim and vigor out of being an effective fighting force. But nonetheless, enter maggot member of Congress Thomas Massie of Kentucky Stan, who said, "I've been contacted by members of our voluntary military who say they will quit if the COVID vaccine is mandated." "I introduced H.R. 3860 to prohibit any mandatory requirement that a member of the armed forces receive a vaccination against COVID-19. It now has 24 sponsors. Well, that's a long way from passing your bill, Thomas Massie. I don't know if anybody told you about math or anything, but it's not going to pass that way. No. But it did give rise to a little something. It just happened in my head. I couldn't help it. I read the story in the Army Times, and just a little ditty occurred. Sorry about the singing. $295 is the fundraising goal, if you don't want to hear. But this won't take long. "We live next door to an anti-vax marine, an anti-vax marine, an anti-vax marine. Yes, we live next door to an anti-vax marine." Okay, all better now. That bill's not going to pass. So how are active duty members of the military going to reject the vaccine? You know, especially in light of the fact that vaccinating one's troops is nothing new. I mean, for God's sakes, George Washington, granted, no great shakes as a general, but right. It was 1777 when George Washington dropped a note to Dr. William Shippen Jr., and told him to inoculate all of the forces as they entered into the greater Philadelphia area. In that letter, he wrote, "Necessity not only authorizes, but seems to require the measure, for should the disorder infect the army, we should have many more to dread from it than from the sword of the enemy." Because, Continental Army encampments had, as one article points out, become hotbeds of disease. There we go. And by the way, maybe Thomas Massie doesn't know this. I don't know if Thomas Massie ever served in the military. I certainly didn't. But I did understand that you can't just say, "Oh, quit," and walk away. You know, you turn in your insignia, and I ain't gonna soldier no more. I don't think this was the meaning of the line, "And I'll study war no more," in that one song. "I quit. I ain't gonna take no COVID vaccine. I quit." Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, frankly, I was surprised that we're not already fully vaccinated in the United States military. And as Arnold in PA points out, study history or you're doomed to repeat it. The average person's a fucking moron. Well, at least, let's amend that just a little bit, please, Arnold. The below average, above average, and average maggot is a fucking moron. That's why they're unvaccinated. That's why they drop dead. I mean, I guess maybe Thomas Massie from Kentucky, maggot that he is, doesn't know the story like we know of that one sheriff's deputy from, what, Denver, was it? Who put up the video about, now listen up, all you fuck sticks. I am a U.S. Marine Corps Marine, and I was a great Marine, and I know you don't volunteer for nothing if you're a great Marine. And then the next thing you know, he was talking about how horrible the vaccine was, and then a couple of weeks later, he was all dead from COVID. Who's the fuck stick now? And it was thinking about him that led me to come up with, we live next door to an anti-vax Marine. That's enough. That's enough of that. Wait, what? Lee in New York says the Army blipped you. They're monitoring you. Oh, dear, the blipping has started. Ugh. Lee also said, we want healthy soldiers, really? Didn't we deny the Spanish flu during World War I? Regarding quitting the military, my father, drafted for World War II, would have rather stayed here. I have no doubt. I don't know about my own dad. He may have, considering the state of coal mine safety in, say, 1943, my dad might well have felt like he had a better shot taking his chances with the Japanese than he did with the coal bosses. Yeah. Yes, Ron and Raleigh. Ron says, don't they call that going AWOL? I believe if they quit, there will be a nice room in Leavenworth, Kansas. Stupid is running rampant. Yes, it is. They not only call it AWOL, absent without leave. No, that's when you go and you don't necessarily come back on time. And AWOL merges into desertion. And what Thomas Massie is talking about is encouraging desertion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Like I said, Titanic intellect. Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, your prayer meeting Wednesday is the single reason I started listening to the program so long ago, so your religious crap puts asses in the seats. And it is probably one of the single most tuned-in days of the week. So, you know, there's that. But Thomas Massie is just the tip of the Titanic Tuesday iceberg. Oh, what a jerk. Of course, this guy also fell all over himself, abasing himself before Nitwit Nero in support of the January 6th insurrection. They were protesting. I don't approve of the way they protested, but it wasn't an insurrection. Now, given the fact that he doesn't realize what desertion means, pretty satisfied that he also doesn't know what insurrection means. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof. So much of this. I mean, and it appears that 6 months in, something more than 500 people have been charged in the Capitol insurrection. That ain't enough. No. Not by a long shot. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, we found out now that in the wake of January 6th, a guy in Northern Virginia decided to pull together his own militia insurrectionist group Fai Duong, a 27-year-old guy, was taken into custody because at the time of his arrest, well, they arrested him because he was cooking up a his own militia group under the guise of a Bible study group. See, I told you we'd figure out a way to get some prayer meeting Wednesday in here. Yep. Bring your Bibles and your goons. Probably the wrong accent. The guy said to an undercover federal agent that he participated in the January 6th insurrection. He told that undercover agent that he had climbed a wall to the Capitol. You've seen the pictures of people climbing the walls. And that he delivered a letter to lawmakers, and then he filmed other people opening a door to the building, you know, with a crowbar. Right. And so he's one of the idiots who was screaming, "We're coming for you, Nancy!" While others were singing, "We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree." Too much singing. We're never going to get there if I keep singing. He identified himself as a member of the Free Percenters. Right. These are people, you know, they think that, they say that only 3% of the American, well, of the colonial people actually supported the American Revolution. And they were in, they were well represented in the insurrection of January the 6th. And he talked about being an immigrant from Vietnam. And he said that we were in China, we were in Vietnam, then we got to come here. Now we're here. And at a certain point, you just got to make a stand. And he'd been surveilling the Capitol. And when he was taken into custody, of course, he had a bunch of guns. One of them was an AK-47. He had enough makings for 50 Molotov cocktails. I guess that means he had 50 glass bottles and some cloth and some gasoline. I mean, isn't that pretty much it? But he would hold Bible study meetings. And at the Bible study meetings, they'd talk about guns and training for the next, you know, for the insurrection that won't be a dress rehearsal. Yeah. And bragging to the undercover officer, he said he was part of a cloak and dagger group that would build resistances for what will inevitably come. Keep your guns and be ready to use them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, apparently he just really opened his heart. Because, you know, when you're a participant in the Bible study group, you do that. You open your heart. Open your hearts and your wallets and come on down that blood red aisle. You know how that goes. And he just poured out his heart to the undercover agent. And he said he wanted to produce a manifesto. "If I get into a gunfight with the feds and I don't make it, I want to be able to transfer as much wisdom to my son as possible." Well, you know, you want to transfer wisdom to your boy. Maybe don't get into a gunfight with the feds because that's treason. You know, if you're attacking the capital of the United States. Just saying. Mm-hmm. But this was the part of the story that kind of got all over me. Fai Duong wants to secede Appalachia from the United States. Mm-hmm. Well, being as how I've got family that's been here for a while, some of mine, as I've said before, got it right and others got it wrong. But I tend to side with my ancestors who got it right and fought for the Union that created this state, benighted though it be. We entered the United States as a free state, and that's why our state motto is Montani Semper Liberi. Mountaineers always are free. We have been a free state from the beginning. Maybe not so much now, though, because maybe Fai Duong, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much sympathy he'd get in Greenbrier County. But I told you about how I went to a wonderful, lovely pride event in Lewisburg, West Virginia, down in Greenbrier County. It's just one county away here. Well, it turns out now, Kelly mentioned this to me, as did another member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, Patty. There is now a kerfuffle roiling Greenbrier County and Lewisburg. A guy who owns a gun store down there, he sells freedom protectors. In the wake of the Pride celebration, because of course, the city actually backed the Pride celebration. That means that they hung out a few rainbow banners and issued a permit for people to walk down the street en masse and then have a block party. And it was all very fun. It was lovely. It was a beautiful day, good people, had a blast. Well, that wasn't enough for one particular schmuck. No, because he got in his freedom truck with his freedom protector and drove slowly through Lewisburg, West Virginia to find out who was patriotic and who weren't patriotic. Yeah, right. Yeah. I wish I was kidding. But, no, of course not. What he did, this titanic intellect, told you it's going to be a busy evening. What this titanic intellect did, it was to throw a conniption over what he deemed to be an insufficient display of Merkin flags. Ain't got enough Merkin flags around here. They just flying them rainbow flags. They ain't got no Merkin flags because Merka. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I think I can get the audio going here. Beautiful, historical Lewisburg, West Virginia.
So here we are coming into Lewisburg, where they had a gay pride parade days ago.
Motherfucker, don't leave out the trans people and the lesbians and the bisexuals and the queers and the queer questioning and the intersexuals and the asexuals and everybody else. And don't you do that. Yeah, this jackapple's name is David Hirschman. And what the flag has to do with him selling... Well, I know exactly what the flag has to do with him selling guns. He sells guns on the backs of the flag. Because he equates patriotism with peddling weapons that can be used to waste children in schools or people in movie theaters. Oh, what a patriot David Hirschman is.
Last Saturday, I think. So there's still some of those flags around trying to look like the gay issue. But what startled me was that...
Wait, hold on. So there's still some of those flags around trying to look like the gay issue. The gay issue? There's only one? Damn. How about that? But he was startled. You heard that. David Hirschman was. Now bear in mind, this stupid piece of video of dude's spouse taking cell phone video as he drives down, you know, Lewisburg's not a big place. The downtown area is fairly small. It's small town America. They in Fayetteville, West Virginia, contend that they are America's coolest small town. And Lewisburg is definitely a cool small town. But it gets less cool because of the presence of people like David Hirschman. So I'm going to stand by my local community, Fayetteville, and say, no, damn it, we are America's coolest small town. And we've got the Smithsonian to prove it. Because there's one town out there that's cooler than us, but I don't think it's Lewisburg. Smithsonian says we're the second coolest small town in America to visit. Yeah, right. Damn fine point. Robert in Australia asks, American flags? Robin, are they made in China? Yes. All the flags they sell here in Australia for Australia Day are. See, that's how they get you. You know, first they start making your cell phones and your computer parts, and then they're making your flags, and then you don't have any freedom anymore. Pour me a grain alcohol and rainwater, Mandrake, and whatever it is that you limeys drink. Fluoride, Mandrake, and little children's ice cream. Earther pointing out, the gay issue, they ran out of money for the second edition. But the lesbian issue should have been the first, so the gay issue would be second, and that would mean, oh dear, it just gets so confusing. But remember, David Hirschman, Titanic intellect, is confused.
The gay issue. But what startled me was...
Startled!
July 2nd, 2 days before Independence Day, and...
Can I just point something out here? I'm a hillbilly, and I speak hillbilly. And that sounds decidedly not like a hillbilly accent. When you hear, it's July the 2nd. I don't know where that comes from, but it ain't here. Yeah, maybe he was raised here and then moved away and picked up somebody else's accent and brought it back home. I've known some Hirschmans here in almost level West by Coal, Manchinia, Stan. But listen to that accent.
The gay issue.
Gay issue.
But what startled me was that July 2nd, 2 days before Independence
Two.
Day, and except for the post office way on down there, I don't see any American flags out along.
No American flags? Places. Where's your flag pin? Well, I mean, can't the rainbow flag stand in? I mean, it's got red and blue in it. Oh, no. People, these Blue Lives Matter assholes, and I'm sure David Hirschman's a Blue Lives Matter asshole. Yeah, they're perfectly down with an American flag that is in monochrome with one blue stripe. In other words, a desecrated flag. They're down with desecrating the flag as long as they're desecrating it the way they want to be desecrating it. But no, we're not. I mean, there may be a red stripe and there may be a blue stripe, but that orange and yellow and green and indigo and violet, you know, Roy G. Biv, the colors of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Not going to have none of that because that don't say Merca. Can't find no flags.
You didn't go up the other side?
What's that? I go straight through.
Yeah, what's curious is that he claims that there are some rainbow flags left around, but in point of fact, the rainbow flags were taken down almost immediately after the Pride celebration. They were all removed on June the 28th. The Pride celebration was on June the 26th. Because this guy is, he's a maggot. And probably an evangelical Christian, and that means, of course, that he is a, come on, everybody, one, two, three, liar! You know what he thought? This is the, because Titanic intellect. Goob here, hey to Goober, thought that the flags that said, there are flags along the street that say open. O-P-E-N. Open. He thought those were gay flags. Like many small towns and merchants, local businesses, Lewisburg has a thing called First Fridays. The first Friday of the month, people, you know, businesses stay open later, and there's street fun. My hometown does one. A lot of towns do it. It's nice. And in Lewisburg, they have flags that hang outside businesses that say open. Well, David Hirschman, patriot, freedom protector, salesman. I wonder if he's ever sold a firearm that killed a human being. Just wondering, just asking. He thought there was something about the word open that seemed, I don't know, gay. And by the way, the open flags have been used in Lewisburg for over 10 years. But there's a reason. There's a reason, old Dave Hirschman. Is complaining. Yeah, there's the turn off to I-64. Road I take to go home.
American flag in this window. Wonder if there's one in that little park.
You know, you get just a little picture of old Dave Hirschman's side of his face there, and he's one of these bushy beard guys, and he kind of looks like a term that Agnes looks like Sad Gandalf. Mm-hmm. There's a flag in that business. Maybe it's a flag store. God, what a twit. And on down the street we go. No American flags nowhere on July the 2nd. And everybody knows it takes a solid 48 hours to properly display a flag, even in a town like Lewisburg. Mm-hmm.
Looks like their open flags are made to look quite a bit like the pride flags they were using last week.
Oh! Except for the fact that they've been used for 10 years.
But you can go ahead and get this flag right here.
Yeah, you can get that flag by the post office.
You can see up there. There's one.
American flag?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. And then the video closes with, what are you proud of? Now, dude here has every bit of 23 subscribers. But this stupid video has that entire community, and eventually it'll probably spread all over southern West Virginia, I don't know, completely roiled in an imbroglio. And don't go into the comments. Do not seek the comments. thankful for what Jesus did on the cross to save us from all sin. May the people of Lewisburg repent and live a new life in Christ. Blessings in Jesus. I did not make him come. Had to work that one in. Sorry. What are you proud of? And so the community's kind of like divided against itself now. It's ridiculous. But here, I promised you the real reason. The real reason for this jackapple video, this jackacid society video, is because of one thing. One person, really. Not a thing, a person. The mayor of Lewisburg. Because the mayor of Lewisburg is, come on, black. And was supportive of Lewisburg's first ever pride celebration. And David Hirschman ain't gonna put up with none of that un-American gayness, gay blackness. And, of course, with the mayor being black and a woman, well, that probably means that Lewisburg is done trying to sneak in the critical race theory. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, they'll be saying things like, America ain't great. And Darlene picked up on this, the subject line, douchebag. Almost sounds like he's Canadian or a male version of Sarah Palin. Definitely a shit for brains, just like her, at any rate. Wait, in the name of Crest? The toothpaste? Asks Steve in New York. Well, you know, but we can be universalist about it. It can be in the name of Colgate or Pepsodent, if need be. Yeah. Oh, God. This is them. Albert in Rhode Island says, I have to laugh whenever I hear about supposed modern-day American patriots, especially the ones who arm themselves with communist-made AK-47s. I know, isn't it? Well, but they get... Used to be you could get AK-47s pretty cheap, and you could count them to actually work, whereas, well, maybe not so much with the more complex AR-15. Mm-hmm. Lee is a little confused. Lee, going back to Fai Duong. Let me get this straight. This titanic intellect is planning to write his lengthy manifesto while in a gunfight and about to die so that he can pass wisdom to his son. I guess he didn't pass on any wisdom while his son was growing up. No, not so much. I mean, really? Secede Appalachia? Just which part? I mean, considering that it goes from freaking Maine to Georgia and as far west as Mississippi. How about that? A significant portion of that would be, a significant portion of the Confederacy. Something's going on here. Steve, the mayor of Lewisburg is a black woman. I'm not sure how she identifies. But... Oh, God. And see, the reason I mention this is because of another right-wing, well, I mean, she's queen right now. Yeah, poor Sarah Palin probably wakes up every morning and says, they don't love me anymore. They don't love me anymore. I haven't shot a wolf from a helicopter in a while, and they're not terribly interested in me. I want to know more about dude's accent. I really, really do. No, the queen of all moranity, the queen of the titanic intellect now, is, of course, again, say it with me. This is easy. We all know the answer. Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cue Ball. And so Sunday evening, the 4th of July evening, she decided, because it's great for fundraising, she's been having a feud with Cori Bush, freshman member of the House from the St. Louis area. Remember, Cori Bush, a black woman, had to move from her office because Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball and her staff harassed the mostly brown or black people of color who worked for Cori Bush. And, you know, Cori Bush had to move because pale pink Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball, I guess, couldn't be punished for being a shit weasel. She got away with it. Well, on Twitter, Cori Bush pointed out, when they say the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this. The freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free. Yeah, 140 characters. It does limit one. But the thing is, she has history on her side. And that's why we can't teach no critical race theory. And she followed up, though. She said, we know what our own freedom looks like. End the slavery permitted under the 13th Amendment. End the war on drugs. End police violence. End health care, housing, and education apartheid. We are the experts on our own liberation, and we won't stop until it's won. And so, because the last time she went after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she got some serious shade thrown at her. The little commie. And as we noted last night, the only thing that AOC did in the way of responding was to say, yeah, well, I'm taller than her. Little. Well, this, of course, brought on a tweet from Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber.
You can stop with the racism now, Corey, and put your race card back in your pocket. 4th of July is freedom for all from tyrannical government. Happy Independence Day. Says a black woman who is one of only 435 people in all of America currently elected to serve in Congress.
But see, this is another case of the dainty, delicate fifis of easily offended maggot white America. You can't be talking about how there wasn't people that had freedom back in 1776 when Jesus dictated the Declaration of Independence to Thomas Jefferson when he had a little downtime from fucking the woman that he enslaved. You can't be talking about that. But it's true. I mean, the number of people who were declared independent of Great Britain in the Declaration of Independence was a tiny fraction of the people who actually lived here. The indigenous people were left out. They'd been here for 10,000 years or more. Sorry. And even if somehow they'd worked, and by the way, in the Declaration of Independence, they were referred to as merciless Indian savages that His Majesty will not protect us from. You know, not protect them from as they encroached upon indigenous land that they were forbidden to move into. Question about Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball from Brother Deacon Asa. Were the frickin' Jewish space lasers attached to frickin' space sharks asking for a developmentally challenged friend in Congress? Yes. Oh, God. So, no indigenous people, male or female, or two-spirited. Nope, none of that. No freedom for men or women of color. Sorry about that, too. No freedom for white women. No freedom for white folks who didn't own property, including, theoretically, other human beings. No, the people who were given, who declared independence on July the 4th, 1776, were exclusively white and male and wealthy. Now, of course, this does not mean that they were able to fight a revolution all by themselves. They had to talk some people into doing that with them, and in fact, doing it for them. We all know about Lexington and Concord. We know about Washington's hasty retreat from battles in and around New York, Brooklyn. Farm country then, Brooklyn. Welcome back. More singing. Stop that. We know about that. We know about the brutal winter at Valley Forge. But what we don't know so much about is the group that were called the Over Mountain Boys. Bunch of pissed off hillbillies who didn't particularly, British forces were marching up the coast. They'd been raising hell in South Carolina, and they were in North Carolina when the Over Mountain Boys grabbed up all the hooch they could carry and got right liquored up and went over the mountains and stomped the shit out of the English at Kings Mountain in North Carolina. Yeah, how hillbillies saved America. It's the truth. It's just a fact. And some of those dudes very likely could not have qualified to vote. Now, technically, Tennessee was an extension of North Carolina. What became Tennessee had been North Carolina. So maybe they were North Carolinians at the time. But many of them were squatters on indigenous land who had managed to live fairly peacefully, mostly with the Cherokee people. I got some Indian in me. I just can't prove it. Mostly Cherokee. Mm-hmm. Because that English force was marching up toward whipping the living shit out of George Washington some more. Dwight Eisenhower, George Washington wasn't when it comes to military affairs. And most of those guys would not even qualify to vote under the Constitution of the United States. So Cori Bush was right. I mean, she was historically correct. And there's really no challenging it. You know, when the Constitutional Convention came along, Abigail Adams, who was actually the brains of the outfit, John was just a dry, dull, boring lawyer that nobody liked. He was an asshole, really. One thing he had going for him, he wasn't a slave owner. He wasn't an enslaver. But Abigail Adams was kind of like Thomas Jefferson, John Adams believed in the whole, we will live on the land and raise the fruits of blah, 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 blah. But he was doing it without enslaving people, so we give him brownie points for that. But Abigail Adams was the brains of the outfit, and she sat home quietly investing the family money and making sure that they would gather wealth unto themselves. And at the time of the Constitutional Convention, she writes a note to her husband and says, "Dear John, please don't forget the ladies. You know, we've got a lot of we're carrying a lot of this burden. You know, we have your patriotic little babies, and we keep the home fires burning while you're off. I'll do all the dishes while you go write a Constitution. You know, where have all the cowboys gone?" And a beer. That's a song reference, but I didn't sing it. And then, of course, the Constitutional Convention gaveled in and "Hey, John, you going to bring up that don't forget the ladies thing that your wife wrote you, you henpecked motherfucker? You going to do that?" "No, I didn't think so." And so the ladies were completely forgotten about in the drafting of the Constitution of the United States. There's not, I've read it cover to cover on the, cover to cover, please. I've read it in toto many times, and I don't think the word female or woman even exists in the original Constitution and the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. So, sorry, this looks like Cori Bush won, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cue Ball just watching. Speaking of bushy bearded guys, Ron and Raleigh asked, when the hell did all white guys decide they wanted to be Grizzly Adams? Short hair and a big bushy beard. Hell of a look. Yeah, I noticed that. I saw a clip from some soulless ginger dude who plays for the Pirates. And he blasted a couple out of the park last night or the night before, I'm not sure. There at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. And yeah, that I don't know what that is. But there has been a bit of a fad for a number. You know who I think started it, Ron? Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Going around all scruffy like, and that was cultivated scruff too, because I mean you can't just stay scruffy. You got to put a guard on your trimmer and just make sure it stays right there in the scruffy zone. And that's a while ago now, but it, ugh. And you got dudes oiling their beards and ironing their beards and like, you know, putting little curl. The next fad will be to put burning matches in them, like Edward Teach the Pirate. Hey, the Pirates! Wait a minute, it could be a thing. Rico in the Berg, can you get it? Can you get a note to management? All the members of the Pirates have to grow beards and put burning matches in them. Of course, a match back then in the 18th century didn't mean like strike on box or anything. They were actually more like the fuses that that they would use in the cannons. But damn, that'd be the hottest. That'd be the hottest look since the mustache gang of the Oakland A's of 1972. I don't mind whispering that into the ear of the universe. Two, as to the space lasers, Jeremy in Vermont points out, back then, what color were the space lasers way back then? That's for the history department. Hold on a damn second, says Steve in New York. Senator Frothy Mixture done telt me there weren't nobody here before the pilgrims done arrived and the Indians didn't have no culture. And certainly America was not founded for the blah people. Yeah. That Dear John letter has changed throughout the years, says Jeremy in Vermont. Mm-hmm. Matt in San Francisco. Not sure why, but the dude with the flag problem made me think of something I did years ago that was not my finest moment. I lived in a conservative part of California during the Proposition 8 campaign. All along the main drag, no pun intended, we're yes on Prop 8 lawn signs. It made me so angry. One night, my boyfriend at the time got in my black Corvette, and I drove along and removed every single lawn sign. Not proud of that, but not ashamed either. No hate. Indeed. Indeed. And that's the... we're... yes on Prop 8 lawn signs. Jesus Christ. I think I would have taken the trouble to write down their addresses and just know as you know. Huh, how about that? So you were no on 8, right? Yeah. Or you were yes on hate? Good. That's good to know. When if some trouble ever befalls you, like, you know, if you ever try to, like, have a maggot parade and you wind up swamping your own boat and sinking, you know, we'll just go on by and say, no hate! Don't beat yourself up about that, Matt. Mm-mm, don't. Ron says, yeah, Raleigh Fingers. That guy had a hell of a handlebar mustache. Yes, he did. And weren't they called the Mustache Gang? D- Didn't everybody have to have, it was some sort of throwback to baseball in 1872 or something, and everybody on the A's, you know. Yeah. Oh, the things we talk about here. The FBI versus 3%ers, going back to Fai Duong, Silent R. Lamar says, 3%er? Oh, you mean 3% stupid people with a gun? I know that the FBI is tired of these people. And yeah, they're dangerous, but damn, they're so simple. No challenge for the FBI. Yeah, just put on a flannel shirt and walk up and say, hey, freedom, make America great again. Hell yeah, let's overthrow the government. Again, it's like that old Bloom County strip from eons ago where Milo's grandpa takes him out liberal hunting in the blind and says, use the liberal call. And little Milo stands up and says, save the whales, save the whales. Elegant takedowns aside, Megan points out, Marjorie Trader Cuball keeps this crap up. She's going to bully the wrong person one day. Cori Bush and AOC know too well what she's about and won't respond because she's not worth getting their hands dirty. But how soon before someone just hauls off and decks her? She's really cutting the odds considerably by continuing to act like the female version of Biff from Back to the Future. Man, that's a shitty thing to say about Biff, Megan. Oh, and by the way, we are up at the second hour of the program, and you may have wondered where Joey and Giraffe were earlier today, yesterday, that is. Last shots at democracy. I received a call from my friend Liz in Atlanta about a month ago informing me that the Cobb County Democrats were having a barbecue on the 4th of July weekend in Marietta, Georgia. Turn left at the Big Chicken, if you're southbound. With the holiday falling on a Sunday, Gojo makes it a four-day weekend, and that meant there was plenty of time to take a trip with Jeffrey to see Liz, the director of the Warnock-Ossoff campaign, and some of the Warnock-Ossoff gang in Georgia over the 4th. Jeffrey and I couldn't wait. Speaking of wait, Liz said, now, just wait a minute. She said she would not be in town because she was going to New Orleans to see her daughter. Oh, speaking of going places, there's Jeffrey. Joey replied to Liz by saying, oh, that's okay if you won't be in town because Jeffrey and I really just want to visit with your dog, Charlie, anyways. My, Joey, he's just so tactful, isn't he? Liz then said, yeah, you can come see Charlie, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to babysit him for a few days while I'm gone. You and Jeffrey can have the run of the house, and then you can go to Cobb County Dems to the barbecue there and meet the likes of Lucy McBath and Raphael Warnock. Well, now, that was a deal, because we get along with Charlie very well, even though Charlie can be a little, yes, that's right, Charlie can get a little rough with Jeffrey at times. Well, maybe Jeffrey likes it rough. Yeah, that's a cowbell for Jeffrey, or for Joey and me. However, hanging around that beautiful 4,000-square-foot home that lists at $750,000 with a widescreen television is nearly as tall as the wall is just too good to pass up. That was a good deal, so Jeffrey and I left Friday afternoon, went to the Friday night game in Cincinnati where Steve and Robin's Reds beat Bilbo Rick's Cubs. Man, the Cubs have lost 10 in a row now. Whew. I caught a little bit of the Sunday afternoon game. It was just kind of neat listening to the Reds on AM radio. That's a nostalgia thing. We left Cincinnati at 11 and arrived in Marietta at 6 a.m. Took a nice nap before going over to the barbecue at 11 a.m. Jeffrey and I were hoping for a big crowd or at least more people than we saw in West Virginia, but we were deeply disappointed as there were probably at best only 100 people at this gathering in Cobb County. We just thought for two places that are going to have such an impact on this upcoming election, the enthusiasm is not at either venue a real disappointment. Well, I understand that. I do. But hey, that meant you had a better chance to... Well, nope, because Senator Warnock couldn't make it because of a scheduling conflict, but there are a dozen more Democrats there running on some form of office, talking to those of us who attended and making a case for us to support them. One lady named Priscilla looked just like Robin, so I'm sure she'll win. Oh, my. On the other hand, Lucy McBath was there, and she was wonderful. Jeffrey and I had a chance to chat with her and mention how incredibly brave and amazing she was to run for office following the death of her son. Many of you may remember seeing the video of the racist bigot piece of shit in Florida who shot her son because her son was allegedly playing his rap music too loud in a car filled with his friends in Jacksonville about 10 years ago. And Lucy seemed to love Jeffrey, but she was not too sure about me. And Jeffrey reiterates, yes, Lady McBath loved me, and of course, I love Lucy. Oh, that giraffe. He tusks me. He
So, at any rate, continuing, Jeffrey makes a good point with his Lady McBath reference, and I conveyed that point to House Representative Lucy McBath. I mentioned to her that every time I hear her name, I'm reminded of Lady Macbeth in Shakespeare's play, tragically committing suicide in the final scene. You do know how to make friends, Joey. With tears in my eyes, I thanked her for not giving in to the impulses of giving up. I told her, I know you lost your only child, and you could have just gone Lady Macbeth and left this mortal coil, shuffled off. But I am so, because that's what it says in the play, shuffle off this mortal coil. But I am so glad that you chose to stay and fight all these gun nuts so we don't have to keep sacrificing lives. At that point, all three of us had tears in our eyes, including Jeffrey. I left the barbecue a little early because I wanted to get back to Charlie and just hang out at Lady Liz's little castle. As we were leaving, I decided to check out the Kennesaw University campus, Mayretta branch, because I wanted to see if they had a soccer or lacrosse field that I could jog on. Many of these colleges have that wonderful rubberized turf that has so much give that cushions your body when you run. What do you know? There was a campus policeman, so I inquired about the turf, and he mentioned that the campus is closed for the summer. And just then, as he was about to say something else to me, suddenly a loud call came over his radio. 10:32 at mine! The policeman abruptly apologized and sped off the campus and headed for I-75. Jeffrey and I just looked at each other and wondered what that was all about. We would find out later in the evening. Later that night, we heard that a golf pro and two others had been shot and killed on a golf course near the main campus of Kennesaw State University in Kennesaw, Georgia, up near where Tracy just visited her mom in Ackworth. The irony of just a few minutes earlier speaking with Lucy McBath about the loss of her son and then moments later hearing the police radio call of another evening death, another shooting death involving a golf pro leaving behind a wife and two children. Will this shit ever end? Well, Jeffrey wraps it up. We left about 7 p.m. last night, and just as Liz was arriving at the Atlanta airport, Joey texted Liz to thank her for all the remote hospitality and just simply said in true Yogi Berra form, hey, just let us know whenever you're going out of town and we'll come and visit. We had a blast without you. Joey's just so smooth and tactful. And so this has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 6th day of July, with Giraffe trying to shoot down the Second Amendment. And by the way, the $20 shoot down the Second Amendment challenge is on the table courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. And that would be great because that would get us down to only $155 to go to be even for the week here with the second and you know, me missing tomorrow. Sorry about that. And we'll add another challenge to that as well. Steve in New York, the Reds are 6 games back and have won 5 in a row. Nobody expected the Reds to be in the mix this season, so I'm going to offer an $11 challenge. 6 games back, 5 in a row, 6 and 5 and 11. So there's $31 in challenges on the table, and that would be very helpful if they were met, because that would actually get us down to $133. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Steve. And Joey and Giraffe. Steve noting, Dan Quisenberry of the Royals had a big red mustache and pitched underhand. He did not pitch underhand. Now quit that. He was a submariner. He was a buggy whip, side armor. And that was a hell of a delivery. So that is the first hour of the program and the Phila Robster. And we got a couple of folks waiting on the line. Let's check in over on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Who've I got?
Hi, it's Randy Radar again.
Hey, Randy, how are you?
I'm good. I want to tell you how I got played and chumped by Facebook.
Oh, no.
I went and clicked on one of the recommended videos and went down the rabbit hole of the recommended videos. And I get tagged somehow as a gay man or whatever, even though I'm asexual. And they're showing me videos of the girl cheating on her boyfriend or whatever.
Oh, my God, Randy. Oh, my God. Yeah, and with the placards and or there's, like, boxes for her. I hate those things. I hate those things so much. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I noticed finally is it's the same woman in all the videos. So there's a factory that's pumping out these videos.
Yes.
And the woman is an actor.
Yeah, and well, eventually they'll put up a disclaimer for entertainment purposes only.
Right. So they are taking a feeling or a bias that the customer has, the Facebook customer has, and they are amping it up with what you expect. So they're sort of giving you what you expect, and they are
or playing. What people want.
Well, I'm not sure if it's what people want. It's more like divide and conquer. They're taking a feeling and exacerbating it.
Yeah, it's a form of fraudulent voyeurism, if you will.
Right, but even more, it plays to the billionaires' interests of divide and conquer. If you can set the women against the men, the Jewish against the Italians, the whites against the Hispanics, the whites against the blacks. I bet this whole industry, and they get you tagged by a marketing bucket, because there used to be only like about 25 marketing buckets they put you into, savvy, swinging, signal, single, or something like that. They had names for them internally. Okay, now they got you classified into about a couple hundred marketing buckets. And they're trying to amp up your biases. And I think it's a divide and conquer on the part of the rich people, okay?
So. I think that's not necessarily inaccurate. The other thing though is that I like a term that you used a minute ago. You said that you're a Facebook customer.
Yes.
And that's the best thing that I've heard in a while. Because, you know, well, I mean, we're not selling anything to you directly. Yeah, you are. You're selling me your product, and you're making money when I click crap. Because like those She Got Caught videos, which are just ridiculous. And they go on forever. I mean, you sit there and you watch them because you just want to see it get to the end and see what it's it is. It's voyeuristic. Those things have hundreds of thousands of views.
Right. Yeah.
And there's another subspecies of this crap. It can't be real. Of this pretty blonde woman. And it plays on the trope of, you know, we all like to watch videos of people cooking stuff, or maybe not we all, but I do.
Yeah.
And there's this pretty blonde lady who makes these disgusting, disastrous dishes, and you know she's got her face down all over the food. She never washes her hands, and she's got and people who are so-called foodies, you know, you go into the comments and you see it, you know, you stay out of the comments. Well, I should know better. But they're like, what the hell is this woman doing? And it's great. It's great for Facebook.
Right, yeah. It's sort of like the cleaning products they advertise on television. Oh, no, you spilled mustard and red wine and ketchup and chocolate sauce on your white carpet. It wouldn't be an American commercial without some destruction involved.
That's the truth. Wait a minute. That's great. We need to put that on the list. It wouldn't be an American commercial if there wasn't destruction involved. That's beautiful. But I'm glad you brought up the issue because I haven't mentioned them, but they are all over the place. Now here's a philosophical disagreement, Randy. Lee in New York says, I beg to differ about being a Facebook customer. If you're getting it for free, you're likely the product.
All right, okay.
Yeah. That too.
As I said, there used to be about 25 different buckets they put you in back in the 1970s or whatever when the credit card revolution first got started. And now there are hundreds they got you classified by, based on what you buy in the supermarket, based on what you purchase online.
Well, and you know, what we found out in 2016 is that, and this was the evil genius of, what was his name, Brad Parscale, during the 2020 campaign. Yeah, he was from Texas, but he's the he was the Trump campaign manager who siphoned off enough money for a Ferrari or two and a home in South Florida, and wound up getting hauled off by some greater Miami-Dade police outfit because he was drunk and playing with guns, and his wife dropped a dime on him.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, he figured out that you could take Facebook's metrics, and it's like in the movies when you see that, you know, the actor is sitting there, the character is sitting there at the computer keyboard, and they call up the satellite view, and it tick, 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 until you've got a picture of a person standing there. That's functionally what Facebook was doing, because you could, with all of those buckets, narrow the focus of your advocacy and your propaganda and your phony baloney bullshit. You could narrow that down to individual street addresses.
I know, and then they can gerrymander right around your house with that big data.
Yeah. And so that's part of why I mentioned that stupid 4th of July video from Mark Zuckerberg. You know, there's no way that Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby could ever stand up on a wakeboard. So, you know, they just took a picture of it's just video of him holding an American flag with a fan blowing on it, and he's superimposed onto the wakeboard. And then somebody followed up and put Ted Cruz on the wakeboard pulling his luggage behind him back from when he bugged out to Cancun.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you that story and bring it to light. And this big data is really getting out of hand already. And the second thing I wanted to bring up is how automation is taking over and how no politician is talking about it. Okay.
Okay.
So it's taking over all the jobs, and you'll go and do a McDonald's 10 years from now, and there'll be no workers there. It'll just be robots preparing the food.
Yeah.
Okay. And conservatives are just gonna have to figure a way to kill off a whole bunch of people, or else they're gonna have a whole bunch of uppity people who don't have jobs. See?
Yeah, a great mass of unemployed people are really handy for power, you know, power hungry,
right?
Demagogues who have notions of world domination.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Even Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders isn't talking about automation.
No, not so much. On the more progressive end of the spectrum, Randy, I think they're trying to address it from the universal basic income angle. Yeah. You know, we got to make sure people can live and enjoy their lives once the robots take over.
See, I'm not sure universal income won't get gobbled up by the landlords in rent.
Oh, I think that's quite possible. Because anytime there's some money floating around out there, there's somebody trying to figure out a way to separate people from it.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll hang up now. But I got well chumped by Facebook.
Well chumped. Don't beat yourself up too much, Randy. We all do.
Okay. All right. Bye bye.
All right. Take care. That's our buddy Randy Radar. Have you seen those videos? I mean, and there's just something disgustingly compelling about them. The first time you see it, you're like, "What? What's going on here? Wait, what?" And then eventually you click on the fact that, you know, this is a piece of some sort of bullshit theater. And I'm not sure if I've ever seen one where the guy gets caught. It's usually some pretty girl who's been caught romping, and the guy's gonna, you know, enforce some sort of retributive justice. They're really kind of creepy. And by the way, on top of the $31 in challenges, it's now $41 in challenges. And that would mean $82, and we'd be almost down to, that would get us down to the $200 level. Ralph's kicked this one in, saying a $10 challenge from the Milwaukee Bucks making the NBA Finals. Yeah, I thought that was really kind of neat. Playing good ball. So there's $41 worth of challenges. It would be great here as we approach the halfway point of the program if we could meet those. And because, you know, me being gone tomorrow, it makes it a little bit stressful. Jesus, I don't like missing the program. Some fun facts about Australia, courtesy of Robert in Australia. One, prior to Federation in 1901, Australia consisted of six separate countries and one northern territory. Customs inspections at border crossings, tariffs on goods, and all the railways had different track width. Ooh, that proved to be disastrous in World War I for the Russians. So you had to change trains when going from one state to another. There are now seven states, or maybe eight. I'm not sure if the Australian Capital Territory is a state or not. It's 2,000 square kilometers. It exists only because it's the location for Canberra, and it has its own government, and those states still operate like they're still separate countries. Two, we have an Australian Constitution. No one except a few lawyers have ever read it. No one really knows what's in it except that there's no Bill of Rights. And the only reason we know that is because thanks to American movies and TV, many people think that the American Bill of Rights is our Bill of Rights. You have to keep telling them, no, that's in America. God, I want to come and I so want to do an extended visit up over down under and just be lovely. John Howard tried to have a preamble about mateship, M-A-T-E-S-H-I-P, added to it during his term, but his efforts fell flat. Australian mateship being a fabricated concept of the late 18th century. One of our poets came up with it. Three, the Australian flag was created in 1901 as part of a magazine competition. The winner got £200. 1901, that's good money. The winning design is based on the British naval ensign. That means we have the flag of another country in the corner of our flag, the British Union Jack, which is a combination of, what, three separate flags? Maybe four? Many Commonwealth countries have flags based on the British naval ensign because the British Navy was fundamental in colonizing. The New Zealand flag is so similar to the Australian flag, many people cannot tell them apart. That makes it hell when they do the national anthem. No, because they don't do that. The Australian flag was usually flown in conjunction with, often in an inferior position to the Union flag of the UK well into the 1960s. We knew our place back then. We may have to change our flag at some point in the near future. With the UK likely to break apart any day now due to Brexit, the Union flag stops having any meaning. It would seem silly to me to keep a flag that no longer represents anything in the corner of our flag. What's that in the corner of the flag? No, nothing. So we'll probably do that. Four, no one flies the Australian flag in Australia, except on government buildings. It's a case of, you want to fly the Australian flag? Why? I ain't that way, y'all. Oh, Robert, that's a cowbell for you. Five, flag waving and patriotism doesn't really happen in Australia except on Australia Day. And on Australia Day, patriotism means have another bee. Oh, that would be delightful. So there's no idiots driving down small town, some small town in Australia's main drag complaining about the lack of, yeah. I mean, for the most part, I remember the first, I was in D.C. We were doing lobby work with the ACAC, and we were up on Rhode Island Avenue. And I looked over and went, son of a gun! It's the Australian Embassy. I think I'll go apply for asylum. And at the time, I think my buddy Bo Webb said, no. The asylum you want's over there, and it's got bars on the windows. That was a great moment. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. That was helpful and a delightful little interlude. Let's run over to the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Robin. It's me, Reggie, from the state of Georgia, talking at you yet once again.
Well, hey, Reggie.
I got some very sad news.
Oh, no.
How you doing, Rob?
Sad news?
I got some sad news for the media, especially and specifically talk radio.
Oh, no.
Because you're about to have yet another radical right-wing conservative radio talk show. Should I say a future conservative radio talk show? Who goes by the name of Megyn Kelly?
Oh,
who's about
I
to have
saw
her show,
that.
Or lunch her show. Yeah, that.
Yeah, they've
about to launch a brand new 2-hour radio talk show on Sirius XM beginning September 7th. What say you about that, Robin?
Well, I want to know how, I want to know what Sirius's business model is, because I want some of that. Because I mean, because you know, it used to be you subscribe to Sirius and it was all advertising free. But it's not. Is it not advertising free anymore?
I doubt it. If I don't have Sirius, because it costs what, $300 a month to get.
I don't know how much it costs, but it ain't worth it to me. But it's funny to me. When I saw the story about Megyn Kelly getting her own show, Reggie. I thought, you know, they've got a whole fascist lineup segment on SiriusXM. But if you go over to SiriusXM Left, snore.
Why you say that, Robert?
Oh, it's just dull as dishwater.
It's dull as dishwater. Who's on there? If you know of any,
it's been so long since I checked it. You know, Mark Thompson used to be on there until I don't know if they ever brought him back or not. But I ran into him down in Charleston at the Poor People's Campaign rally a few weeks ago. It is duller than a Methodist sermon. And
go ahead, Robin.
I'm probably pissing people off because you know maybe somebody likes it, but meanwhile it's right wing fascists all the way down the line, and now they're adding Megan. Of course, Santa is white. Kelly.
Right.
I mean, I guess there's a real. So, tell me this, Reggie. You tell me. Is there something I don't know what to call it, but why is it that right wing talk radio is such a multi-million-dollar draw, a multi-bajillion-dollar draw?
Right.
And I know based on you know our own numbers and those of other progressive liberal radio shows, there's an audience here too. But the left, you know, what left? I mean, you know, but our side of the political aisle goes begging while, I mean, what do you reckon you got to pay Megan, of course, Santa's white Kelly, to get her on set? Because I'm pretty sure she wasn't just bored and she's doing it for free.
Right. She's probably getting paid Howard Stern type money, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think she's getting paid Howard Stern type money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, here's the answer to the question. You know, Jeremy in Vermont has it for us. SiriusXM is commercial-free for most of the music stations, but anything else is much like TV national commercials every few minutes. So that explains where Megyn Kelly's money will be coming from.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, like you said, talk radio is saturated full of radical right-wing conservative hate talkers, and yet our side is like Joel says, Snoozeville, you know, Snoozeville. What do they talk about? You know, I'm talking about us on our side, the left.
I wish I could answer that question.
Yeah, they put people to sleep practically.
Oh, well, here's a cowbell observation for us, Reggie. Check this out. Matt in San Francisco just said, Megyn Kelly. So someone who achieves success based mostly on their looks is going to do radio.
Yes.
That should be a big hit. Not.
Yeah, but you can't see.
Yeah, exactly.
She's on the air.
Right.
Oh, you can't.
She's going to. And that's going to be radio.
Yeah, you can't see Howard, on the air.
I don't know. Maybe they'll simulcast with video or something like Howard Stern used to do. I don't know. I mean, how are you gonna get Megyn Kelly's legs on radio? I mean, they're gonna have a microphone. Maybe the sound of some nylon rubbing together. I don't know. I'm not trying to be sexist in this.
Yeah, or a Zoom camera underneath the desk.
No, Reggie, no, don't go there. You get us both in trouble. And I'm trying to be better that way. I'm trying to be better.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, how can they do it? And how can they do it? Be a gazillion radio talk station, and we can't do it. I mean, meaning you yourself, Robin Kincaid, and others. I mean, you, Stephanie Miller, Leslie Marshall, Randy, you know, Randy Rose and Nicole Sandler, and Mike Malloy, just to name a few.
Yeah.
That's six people. I mean, because y'all won't bend over. I mean, you know, well, y'all won't bend over and stoop down to.
What?
Y'all ain't going to kiss nobody's ass. That's what.
Oh, you know? I don't know. It's like the old joke, the punchline of which is, we all know what you are. Now we're just negotiating a price. But here's the reason for it. Here's the Hollywood Reporter had the story about Megyn Kelly, Reggie. She's going to occupy the 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern time slot on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
The Megyn Kelly Show. I need to get into some voiceover.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be on the Triumph channel, along with the Beckerhead. The Beckerhead, and I didn't even know she was still broadcasting, but Dr. Laura Schlesinger. The Triumph channel. No, it's going to be the White Supremacy channel. And, you know, it was a while ago, but in addition to, of course, Santa is White, Megyn Kelly also in the past said, it's a verifiable fact that Jesus Christ was white.
No, it's not.
It's the exact opposite of that, but never mind.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't, you know, you're going to get a bunch of, shall we say, maggots.
But pay attention to that time slot, Reggie. 12 to 2.
12 to 2? Noon to 2.
Yeah,
noon to 2.
Who used to occupy, who used to own that slot?
And it was 12 to 3. The dead man himself.
The dead man, the dead pig man himself, yes. So they're trying to, nature and program directors abhor a vacuum, and that's why.
Yeah, right. But his show was 3 hours instead of two.
Megan's not going to work till three. Megan's going to work till two,
right?
Because, you know, that two to three hours is critical, or that 2 to 3 hour is critical in getting the martinis flowing.
Right. I mean, right. And, you know, like you said, it's another $1 billion for-profit media, or should I say five, including talk radio, conservative talk radio. We'll put anybody on there nowadays, right, Robin? Or am I wrong for saying that?
No, you're right.
They'll put anybody who they can get off the street on.
Well, no, let's put it this way, Reggie. They'll put anybody on the air who can say enough outrageous, hateful garbage to keep outrageous, hateful people tuned in for the outrageous, hateful garbage.
Right. But it won't be our side. Our side doesn't do that, does it, Rob?
Well, we're just no good at it. But the thing is, you don't have to be outrageous to do good radio. I mean, this program, and God knows, Malloy, the dean of progressive radio, the godfather of progressive radio, has proven that. You don't have to be outrageous to score ratings points and to be successful.
Right.
And as Randy Radar just pointed out, sweet fake white Swedish Jesus, Megyn Kelly. Yeah.
Right. They just choose to be outrageous on talk radio because they know they'll get paid more and their ratings will be shot up into outer space, in the further reaches of outer space if they do that, Robert. Am I correct or am I wrong again for saying that?
No. I don't think you're wrong as such, Reggie. It's just that. They've gotten themselves in, because of the nature of their audience, they've gotten themselves into a feedback loop where they have to constantly one-up each other in terms of how outrageous they are. And
I think you're on spot.
Well, no, it's more like, you know, Mark Levin and Alex Jones and Glenn Beckerhead and... They constantly have to say crazier, stupider, more vicious, more racist things in order to keep their audience happy. Because
Don't forget about Dennis Prick. Go ahead.
There's too many to mention. You know, and there's also Pink Shrek. you know, Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And don't forget about Dennis Prager and Michael DeMeo Savage.
Yeah, but they're kind of yesterday.
Right.
I mean, Michael the Savage Wiener. Mm-hmm. You know, he had his moment, but that moment is, and he's down to just doing a podcast.
Right.
And just chilling, just hanging out, chilling in Marin County. Yes, that's right. Jealousy on my part. I'd like to be chilling in Marin County.
But, you know, I wonder how, he's getting paid Howard Stern-type money. You know, he's only air 4 days a week. And he's taking the summer off until September.
Yeah, he's like, Well, that's one of the nice perks. I mean, the dead pig man used. I think he was there. There was a total of probably 6 weeks a year he wasn't even on the air.
Right.
Because this is not easy. Right. This is not easy to do day after day, night after night. It takes a lot of energy to do it and stay fresh. Here, this might help. Ron in Raleigh says, they pay Joe Rogan $100 million, so I'm guessing Megan will make close to that. When she left NBC over the blackface affair, her $69 million contract was still intact. These programs are direct injections of stupid into the body politic. Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right. You're our only hope.
Right. And, you know, he's going to say the craziest thing, the most psychotic thing, and she can get away with it because you can say anything, and I do mean anything on SiriusXM, fully uncensored, Robin. I'm sure you know that, right?
Well, I mean, I can too. There's no censorship on the internet either, but it's the platform and the fact that they're out there selling it. You know, this program, you can tune in, and it doesn't cost anybody a nickel. We exist because there's a community here that wants the program to exist for everybody who wants the program. Well, that ain't it on SiriusXM. On SiriusXM, it is strictly pay to play.
Yeah, just like premium cable, right, Robin?
Yeah. Well, Dave number 11 has it down to a science here for us. This explains it all, Randy. Yeah. To paraphrase, stupid is a good dollar. Critical thinking is a bad dollar. Just to expand on that, whoever it was that said this was absolutely true. Maybe it was H.L. Mencken. You will never go broke underestimating the American people, or you'll never go broke overestimating the intelligence of the American people.
Right, so they praise idiotic, moronic stupidity over intelligence.
Well, I mean, look at even if you factor out political radio, look at the success of reality television. It's the cheapest kind of TV to produce. It's purely voyeuristic. It's no more reality than a Bugs Bunny cartoon was. But Jesus. Right. God, people tune in by the tens of millions to watch this crap. And I'm sorry, there's no ethnic aspect to this, but look at the Kardashians. Famous for being famous.
Right.
I mean there's no social, political, artistic or any kind of intrinsic value to that reality television show, but God Almighty, a Kardashian will be on the cover of People magazine because of their stupid show, and there's stupid for white people too. There was a time when I couldn't walk into the Rippy Mart downtown without having some Duck Dynasty branded crap for sale in there.
Right.
You know, I mean, that Robertson gang was the white Kardashians. Right. I confess, just about the only reality show I've ever watched was occasionally seeing an episode of Pawn Stars.
Right.
Because that was more interesting for its artifact value than it was for the personality. Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, there was a reality show about people who went out in boats with rifles and shot hunks of ice off of icebergs in the North Atlantic. I mean, that is the God Almighty, Reggie. That is the definition of a show about watching paint dry. And I'm sure there's one of those too.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
And if you go and you read, for instance, because it's also helpful, if you go and you read Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 411, way he taught everybody, it's funny how that's the way that novel was understood was morphed. I remember reading it in high school and reading it again later. And it comes across to most readers as a commentary about literacy and about deliteracy and dumbing down of people and government control, you know, where the firemen actually start fires instead of put them out. But Ray Bradbury, toward the end of his life, said, no, that wasn't what it was about, how damn stupid television is. Because remember, the protagonist's spouse sits around all day, and she watches TV screens that are actually the walls of her home. And the TV shows are so interactive that they insert her into the program, just like and it inserts the next door neighbor's name, and so everybody feels like they're involved in the television show. And it's the same thing that Randy Radar was talking about a couple of minutes ago with watching those Facebook videos about, you know, woman caught cheating, see her get her comeuppance, or any radio any reality TV show. Wow, you really got me on a roll with this one, Reggie.
Yeah, I'm glad I did, Robert. I'm glad I did, because, you know, I just thought you should know about Megyn Kelly's brand new show starting up in 2 months.
Ugh. You know, and you know what? Yeah. It will. And here's the next part of the hustle. It will immediately generate outrage stories that will probably catch my attention. Especially because we don't have Megyn Kelly to kick around. I mean, not Megyn Kelly, Meghan McCain to kick around anymore.
Right. She's leaving The View after this month.
Yeah, and people associated with that program said she couldn't. Yeah, the people associated with that program said, you know, she couldn't leave fast. They couldn't see the back of her fast enough because she was absolutely impossible to work with.
Right. I mean, she got on everybody's nerves, especially Joy's and Whoopi. And Whoopi's still not well.
But she was horrible to people off air too. She wasn't just filling a role or a space on camera. She was a bad human being off camera. I know this for a fact.
Right.
And lo and behold, but you're going to love this. I saw an article the other day, and it's funny how these things stay with me. I saw an article the other day where some pundit said, you know who needs to take over Meghan McCain's spot on The View? And I'm scrolling, going, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible. And it was, because after you got about 9 paragraphs in, they said, Candace Owens.
No. Hell no. No. No, hell no. No. Everyone would try to strangle her.
Oh, Whoopi'd be across the table.
Yeah, exactly. Especially Whoopi. And possibly Joy, but they'd be trying to strangle her ass.
Oh, I
think, you know, they would no, try to get rid of her.
I think she'd even bring out the bad side of Sonny Holston.
Right. You think he'll strangle her? Or at least try to? I mean,
that or just reach the long arm of the law across the table and slap the pretty off her face.
Yes, exactly. I mean, why can't they just have a normal, I forgot. There's no such thing as normal conservative. No more cycle. You know, no more cycle conservative women on the show.
But
you
see, that's the thing. Person? It's the interplay with the psycho that sells the ads. It's why people tune in. It's the same reason they watch wrestling. You know, the good wrestler is never the one that gets people's attention. It's the bad wrestler that hits people, sneaks up and hits somebody over the back of the head with a folding chair. That's why you tune in. It's like Scott in San Diego calling in and talking about his auntie who would have her pack of cigarettes and a cold can of beer watching the wrestling going, hit him again and put some stank on it.
Right. He's not going to even have any realistic chemistry with the people who don't want her on there because they can't stand that she's going to get on everybody's nerves, say something stupid, and they might want to try to do something to her. You know what I mean? They probably don't want to work with her either.
Well, this was just a suggestion, so I don't think there's any real threat of it happening. But
oh, thank God. Thank God.
Scared for a minute there, Reggie?
Yeah, well, they're probably trying to get SC Tough. You know what I mean? They're probably trying to get her. But they need somebody.
No, I think my guess is it might be Anna Navarro.
Well, yeah, at least she's normal.
But see, you got to bring a maggot in just to remind America how freaking crazy we are. It's like what Ron and Raleigh said a minute ago. They're direct injections of stupid into the body politic.
Right. And, you know, I thought that, And I thought they're supposed to be getting rid of stupidity in politics. You know what I mean?
No. What gave you that idea, Reggie? You sunshiny optimist, you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what gave me the idea.
Our Megan, not Megan Kelly. Or Megan McCain. Our Megan said Candace would be worth it on The View just to see Whoopi open a can of whoop-ass on her, and Sonny Holston would be a-fixing her boxing gloves, too.
Yeah, don't forget about Joy Behar bitch-slapping her twice. You know what I mean? Let Joy Behar and Anna Navarro go at it, too. Let them have some fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'd probably have to go to commercial break, you know, technical difficulties, Robin. You know, please stand by. Exactly. Because the fight would have broke out on the set of The View. Of course, you know, that's going to be talked about all over. You know what I mean? All over.
Sure. But like I said, in 2 months' time, I will probably be getting suckered in because it will be Megyn Kelly's job to say outrageous white supremacist things. And then our side of the political aisle will say, oh, my Jesus, did you hear what the... And meanwhile, the folks at SiriusXM Triumph Channel, whoever's programming that Lainey Riefenstahl madness, will be sitting there just counting the money going, oh, my God, they're talking about us. They're talking about us. They're talking about us. They're talking about us.
Right.
And so just so you understand, Reggie, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We have just given 20 minutes of free advance publicity to a horrible, racist, white supremacist, privileged woman.
Yeah.
How's that make you feel?
I don't know, disgusting.
Yeah, I feel a little like it's kind of like what Randy Radar said a few minutes ago. I'm feeling pretty well chumped.
Right. But if we did that on our side, they'll attack us from here to the end, the very end of time, if we said some outrageous, you know, shit out over the airwaves on television or even the internet. They'll come after us, attack and blast us from beginning to the very end of time itself, Robert.
Yeah, sure.
What do you have to say about that? We can't get a. Go ahead.
No, no, please.
And we can't get a break.
I just got a note from Brother Deacon Asa saying, you know, are you kidding? You're outrageous. Yeah. I'm not trying.
Right.
I'm not trying.
No, you're not.
But, you know, outrageous things happen and we have fun with it. But, you know, I'm not telling anybody. I mean, look at how much free publicity Joe Rogaine got. for telling young people not to get the vaccine.
Right. You're not telling people, you're not misleading people, Robin. You're not misleading people or telling them to go out and do something stupid or illegal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I am kind of glad you brought it up, because I'd saved this article just as a reference point for multimillionaire media morality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
lately from the New York Times, I'll get a link every now and then. I never click on it because, well, you know, they're just trying to sell me the paper.
Right.
But it's a segment they call The Great Read. And this is The Great Read from Thursday. Thursday, July the 1st, 2021. The Great Read is: every weekday, we recommend one piece of exceptional writing from the Times, a narrative or essay that takes you someplace you might not expect to go. So on July the 1st, 2021, The Great Read from the New York Times was headlined, "Joe Rogan is too big to cancel." He's now one of the most consumed media products on the planet. His Spotify deal, estimated at $100 million, speaks to the... And this is the part where I realized it was a real nomination. Speaks to the allure of making audiences feel they're in on something subversive. Really? Pink Shrek is subversive?
Seriously? Seriously, Robin?
I mean, so I guess now Manifest Stupidity is subversive?
Yeah.
Right. I'm so freaking old, Reggie. I can remember when positing ideas that were on the cutting edge were subversive, or, you know, suggesting everybody should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick was deemed subversive. But now Joe Rogan telling people not to get a goddamn vaccine, that's subversive, Reggie? It made me think maybe the New York Times doesn't know what the word subversive means.
Right. Maybe you should teach them.
Or maybe more to the point, Pink Shrek's audience doesn't know what subversive means.
Right.
Jesus.
And if anybody on our side says that, we'd be attacked and blasted for it, won't we, Robin?
Well, here's a comparison. Here's a comparison for you, Reggie.
Years ago,
probably 15 years ago or more.
Right.
There was an Esquire. There was a profile in Esquire magazine of.
Right.
Ed Schultz, may he rest in peace. And it talked about how, you know, it didn't accuse him of being subversive. He said, "No, this is the voice that Heartland America needs from the Democrats. Ed Schultz, who used to be a Republican, who sounds kind of like a Democratic Midwestern Rush Limbaugh." And they talked about how, oh, he doesn't have a call screener. Oh, anybody can get through. Really?
Right.
Yeah, and that was the edgy future of progressive broadcasting. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you guys. Have you ever even heard of Mike Malloy? Well, no. But did he used to be a Republican? Because suddenly that was the fucking selling point. Oh, he used to be Republican. You know, I once was lost, but now am found. No,
you're right, Robin. No. Yeah, we need more people like us with Ed Schultz, or with his timing or his type of mentality, to tell it exactly the way it is, and you know how it is.
You know, making middle white America feel good about their guns. You know, that was one of his jobs.
Yeah, that's one. But you know, like you said. Now that the pig man is dead and gone, they need a void to fill. They need that void, unfortunately.
There's money being lost, and it's sad when the money gets lost. The money, just like Jesus looked for the missing sheep, you have to go find the lost money.
Right. That's true. You know, and like I said, they're paying her Howard Stern type money. You know, and she won't get fired or canceled if she says any outrageous bullshit. Will she, Robin, or am I, you know, wrong to say that? She's going on TV with that film. Or she won't be protested or banned, you know?
Yeah.
She won't, you know, she probably won't be crying about cancel culture, trying to cancel her, you know, from radio, you know? Why can't they give us that exact same time slot and spot?
Okay. This goes back to what I was talking about the, you know, the biggest wealth transfer in America happens every 2 and 4 years in campaign season, when working people dig deep into their pockets and transfer whatever they can afford to multimillionaire corporations who hate their guts. The reason there's no burgeoning left media is because there are no left broadcast executives who see that as an avenue to making a great deal of money. And even when it's proven to them, Reggie, that there's a great deal of money to be made there, they don't want it because they don't want people who are going to talk about things like media monopolies or how shitty the Telecommunications Act of 1996 is. And they damn sure don't want anybody, and I'm not a fan of it either, blathering about the return of the fairness doctrine. That's a bunch of shit.
Right.
But the reason corporate America supports right-wing radio is because right-wing radio talks about things, and right-wing TV, whatever, talks about issues the way that corporate America wants them talked about.
Right.
Do you think do you think the big insurance companies want somebody on? No. Never mind insurance companies. Here's a good example, because, you know, I tune into my filthy morning habit every day, and I am bombarded. Now, I feel like I know about more drugs than a goddamn pharmacist.
Right.
Because every time Joe and Mika go to a commercial, it's a drug commercial. They're drug pushers.
Right.
Your skin's falling off, there's a drug for that. Your nose is sliding off, there's a drug for that. Do your toes involuntarily curl? There's a drug for that. I mean, it's 7 o'clock in the morning and they're scaring me to death about cancer. It's the same thing that I was talking about yesterday with that stupid CNN article on the 4th of July weekend. Put down that chicken leg, it's gonna kill you.
Right. It's like they don't want you to enjoy life.
And it takes them 11 paragraphs in that story, not to go over it again, but it takes them 11 paragraphs in that story to finally find the time to mention that maybe dietary health disparities in the South might have something to do with a little bit of structural racism.
Right.
That it's hard for people who live in freaking food deserts to get fresh food.
Right. Right. True. But they don't tell you that now, do they, Robin?
No.
They don't tell you that. No. They try to hide that from you. Or if you're, you know, if you're impotent and can't get it up, there's a drug for that. You know,
there's a pill for that.
Yeah, exactly. There's a pill for that. Or if you got headaches and migraines, there's pills for them. Or stomach ache, there's a pill for that. You know. Or backing, you know, there's a pill for that. Or muscle aches, there's a pill for that, right, Robin?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, like you said, they're drug pushers, but nobody wants to tell the truth about that, because if they do, they get fired, right?
Right.
I mean, have you yourself, Robin, told the truth about them, about the media monopolies, what would have happened to you, Robin? What exactly would have happened to you if you went out there and told the truth? You know, they would have fired you, right? Or come after you, right?
There you go.
They would have came after you. Even if you had a bullhorn and was hanging out in the street, they would have still come after you, right, Robin?
Well, I think so.
You and Mike Malloy are the truth teller. Well, you, Mike, Leslie, Stephanie, and Nicole, you know, you guys are the truth tellers. Go on, Randy, y'all are the truth tellers, man. And yet, y'all not on public broadcasting because of that fact. I mean, progressive talk radio is like a blink and you miss under the radar. Am I right for saying that, Robin? You know, blinking, you miss under the radar type radio?
Yeah, well,
it's a blip.
It doesn't have to be, but that's how it plays.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it plays because they dominated talk radio. As I said before, and I'll say it again. First, they got in talk radio. Well, first, they conquered talk radio, then cable TV, and now they want to conquer the internet. What do you think about that, Robin?
Oh, Reggie, it becomes a frustrating exercise just trying to sort it out.
Yeah, it is. But they, like you said, they hire the most psychotic people for their radio talk show, and leave the adults at home, right?
Yeah, there we go. Hey Reggie, I'm gonna roll here and create some space for other people, but it's been a great conversation. I do appreciate it. You have yourself a wonderful evening. All right.
All right, Robin, and keep cool now because I am. It's kind of hot.
It's about 85 in the studio, but you know it's been much worse. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Right. Hey, I need to sweat. I need to sweat off some weight anyway, right?
Right.
There we go.
Right.
Hey, take care, Reggie. You have
don't
a good evening.
Much,
oh, I don't think I'm. I don't think. I don't think I'm. Think I'm in no danger of that yet. So I'll just keep trying to shed it. All right. Later.
Yeah. That's good.
Bye now.
All right. Later, Robin.
See you.
Bye now.
Reggie calling from Decatur. That was a dandy, a fine and dandy conversation. Too big to cancel, really. Subversive radio. Joe Rogan. Oh, by the way, John in Central PA said, it's okay, you can say Joe Rogan again. I've gotten over the baldness issue, LOL. But you were talking about Jessica Resnick with Tara last night, and you mentioned the outrage. Oh, that story just drove me nuts. That's why I had to come back to it. The outrageous fact that she's being charged as a domestic terrorist, even though the real domestic terrorists from January 6th are barely being charged with anything at all. How insane is that? That makes me feel like this country is utterly hopeless. Just nuts. Or, as some people like to say, John, circling the drain. Matt's paying attention to the pharmaceutical ads, too. Matt says, I like the fact that the side effects of the drugs are always far worse than whatever they're said to treat. Is there a pharmaceutical drug out there that does not put you at the risk of developing harbulary thyroid cancer? Yeah, they're terrifying. And by the way, going back a little bit, since the issue was raised about the insurrectionists not being appropriately or sufficiently charged and prosecuted, Flavio said earlier, I get the distinct impression that although some 500 plus people have already been arrested and charged, there doesn't appear to be enough heart to go tough with these people, and they're being mollycoddled. Case in point, a Washington Post article, a former police officer arrested after the January 6th riot was told to stay away from guns. He bought 34, feds say. Yeah, we talked about that story on the air the other night. Thomas Robertson, the former Rocky Mount, Virginia police officer, who thought he would out-clever the feds once he was put out on supervised release. He thought he'd out-clever the feds by storing all the new guns that he bought at the gun dealer's store. And so since the court had already turned him loose on his, more or less on his own recognizance, the prosecutors had to go back in and ask him to put him back in jail. And it's anybody's guess whether or not he'll go. But here's the question. The woman I was talking about on with Tara on Mike's show last night, Jessica, I messed her name up once already, Resnicek, all she did was protest the Dakota Access Pipeline. And she is going to do 8 hard years in the federal stir for what was absolutely, it's not even challengeable in court, non-violent civil disobedience. That's it. But the federal prosecutors, I said, no, Your Honor. We need to enhance her sentence because she's a domestic terrorist. No horse shit. I mean, if she's a domestic terrorist, I'm the emperor in exile of the Norblap Nine Empire. Here's a hint: I'm not the emperor in exile of the Norblap Nine Empire. I'm just really, really not. Where's that domestic terrorism enhancement for any of these fucknuts from January 6th? Where? I mean, I'm sorry. It just sounds a little weak tea to say, well, you know, if you're being charged with felony remaining in a federal building when you're told to leave. You know, it sounds like a bad party guest. The federal Bureau of Prisons says, we definitely got room for one white blonde female, but I don't know if we can house 1,000 maggots. You know, those would just, you know, you bring a bunch of maggots into the Federal Bureau of Prisons and it's just going to ruin it for everyone. And I'm going to be really pissed the first time I see one of these federal insurrectionists being sent to Club Fed out in California or down at, I don't know, do they still have the one at Maxwell Air Force Base in Kentucky, in Alabama, or the one in Ashland, Kentucky? I'm going to be really pissed off when that happens. Oh, don't smack their hands too hard, Your Honor. But a woman who simply wanted to save the drinking water and the living on earth water for indigenous people and white people too. Oh, and people of color. And wanted to and wanted to slow down the profit-driven machinery of death itself. She's going to do 8 years. 8 years hard, making little rocks out of big rocks. Fuck that. Sincerely. And so we are, we're out of the second hour of the program, into the third, and trying to raise $41. Because those are the matching challenges that are on the table, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, and Ralphs, and Stephen New York. Trying to raise $41. And that'll take us down to, let's see, 113 bucks, I think, to go. No, 213 bucks to go. I suck at ciphering. And of course, Megyn Kelly will never have to do that. Neither does the Beckerhead. Because they are active participants in the capitalist miracle. Oh, well. It'd be great if we could meet the goal this evening. But there's only 51 minutes left in the program. And again, I'll be gone tomorrow. There's just no way to get back in time for my appointment. Ugh. Let's run back over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's David McBlind.
Hey, Dave, how's it going, man?
It's going fantastically.
Give me some good news.
Christine is doing her eye exercises now that they gave her. She's able to see more out of her peripheral vision. And
wonderful.
She's going to Chicago on the 30th of August. And my landlord got the bed bugs under control, so I'll be able to go over to her house at some point here soon, and I might even be able to get her on the air with you.
Oh, that'd be lovely. We'd love to hear from Christine.
So, Megyn Kelly's got a show coming. I think they're mispronouncing her last name.
Really?
I mean,
Megyn Kelly?
It's sort of like, No, her last name is similar to her ideas. They smell. I won't go any further. You can complete the joke.
Megan Smelly? Megan Smelly?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I was thinking Megan Clanny, but yeah, that right. But Clanny Oakley's already taken.
Or the Nazi Week in Review, you know, or is she on Daily?
She's on Daily, noon to two, Monday through Friday.
Also it's Nazi
Daily. Wait, Dave. There's the name of the program. It's so uncreative just to say the Megyn Kelly Show. No, it's Noonday Nazi with Megyn.
Yes.
Welcome to Noonday Nazi with Megyn Kelly.
Isn't she the one that put her bare feet up on a couch in the Oval Office? I seem to remember seeing a picture of one of
Oh, God,
Trump's
that just
men.
Hurts too much to think about.
I know. It makes you want to lose your lunch. And speaking of lunch, I just got done with mine. Beef steak and noodle.
That's on you. That's self-abuse. Why do you do that to yourself, Dave? Not the steak and the noodles.
What?
The Megyn Kelly after the steak and the noodles.
Oh, well. No,
it's
see,
like putting
I ate that
I mean, come on, for Christ's
sake,
that's like putting anchovies on ice cream.
I love anchovies, but
on
not
ice
on
cream?
Ice cream.
Well, precisely my point.
No, absolutely not. That's like, you know, shrimp puffs on a banana split. You don't do it.
Well, you've ruined banana splits and shrimp puffs for me. So, you know, thanks for the sour persimmons, brother.
Well, you're welcome, sister. But Christine is really, really excited.
I'm so happy for her.
I told her, I said, honey, you really should consider getting a guide dog if they offer it. And she's digging her heels in about that. But I don't want one. I'm like, okay. I know after 36 years, I know when to just drop it.
Yeah, there are just some hills you don't want to die on, Dave. I mean,
that's right. Besides, she's getting mean with that cane.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
Oh my God!
Oh, and by the way, we have a fact update from Randy Radar. No, the woman with her stocking feet on the White House Oval Office couch, that was Kellyanne Conjob.
Oh, okay. So it's the one that should be arrested for child pornography. Okay, I had to get my villain straight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate the correction. But, you know, what's really exciting to me is we found a couple more resources for Christine.
Yeah.
There's another place up in Illinois that offers assistance, and they've been doing it since the 20s. And they've got videos on how to make your house a more low vision friendly place and things like that. And so I bookmarked it for her. I've been helping her with research because she can't see her keyboard well enough to maneuver around the internet. And she can't see what's on the screen. So they're supposed to help her set all that up this week. So things are going pretty good for her and I. I went alone to Muncie for the 4th of July. And on the way back, my Trumpian brother
said, this isn't going to end well.
Well, President Trump did everything right on COVID. He did everything right. I'm like, yeah, tell that to 400,000 people who died on his watch. You know, before Biden even came into office.
Precisely.
But
you didn't convince him, did you, Dave?
Well, I kept my mouth shut because I was in between Muncie and Indianapolis, and I didn't feel like walking 40 miles to my front door.
There's that big primate brain at work again.
Well, I know. Well, at least mine still works. I've been looking around for a donor brain for my brother, but I haven't been able to find one yet.
There might be one in a lab. I think there's one in a lab named Abby.
Abby
Normal.
Didn't Igor get a hold of that one for the doctor? I thought Igor got that for Dr. Frankenstein.
I have a feeling she had sisters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like how George Foreman named all his sons George Foreman.
Oh, he named his daughters George, too.
Damn.
All of his kids are named George. All of his kids are named George. I guess they just call them out by the numbers when they want whichever one in particular.
You called the wrong one.
No, Mom, you want number 4, not 5. Yeah.
Get out of here, George. I want George.
Yeah. Everybody leave the room. I need to talk to George. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the old joke about the client who calls the law office. Thank you for calling Robinson, 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 and Robinson. May I speak to Mr. Robinson? I'm sorry, he's out of town. Well, may I speak to Mr. Robinson? I'm sorry, he's in a deposition. May I speak to Mr. Robinson? I'm sorry, he's in trial. May I speak to Mr. Robinson? Just a moment, I'll get him.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a weird joke I hadn't heard.
Oh, you never heard that one? Oh, that's ancient.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that one. That one's good. That one's actually good.
Oldie but a goodie. Well, when Christine goes to school, is this going to be for, like, learning Braille and stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she hopes they'll teach her to cook, too, or how to maneuver around the kitchen without killing herself.
That really is the key to the benefits program.
Yeah. Really. I mean...
I know a lovely young lady here in the area. She's a school teacher, and she teaches visually impaired students, including you know, learning things like Braille. We were talking about it just the other day when I went up to the to the general store for
Braille.
A hot dog.
That's
yeah,
that's a skill. I've tried. I had classmates when I was going to school who were blind, who would use a Braille writer. And when he signed, when my friend Tim signed my yearbook, he put his name in Braille on the back cover, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, really?
I said, Tim, is that your name? And he said, yeah. I said, cool. I'll know who signed that, because you're the only person who used a Braille writer on my yearbook. That's kind of cool.
That's really, so, you don't, yeah. do you still have it?
No. Oh, hell no. It got lost in moves and when I left home.
That happens.
My mom kept all my stuff, but when we went through the stuff after she died, it wasn't there because she pitched a lot of stuff and because she wasn't real happy with me. But, yeah, I mean, this is the same woman who didn't tell me my girlfriend was moving to Florida until 6 months after she moved. So,
oof.
While I was living in Indianapolis.
Wow. I know.
But that's a story for another occasion.
Well, you tell Christine yeah. We're anxious to hear from her. And we're so proud of the progress that she's making.
She's been asking about you, and I said, well, Robin's going along swimmingly. And I told her about your Pride Day experiences. And she thought, oh, no, it was fun. So I will let her know that you guys have been asking about her. I do appreciate all the support everybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation has given us over the last several months. It really has helped.
I am so glad to know it. And I know the whole community is, Dave.
My brother said, well, I'm glad you got back in touch with us, because I hadn't talked to Mom in years before she got sick. I said, well, you can thank my friend Jerry Darnell, who's the lawyer who helped Christine here recently. And I said, you can thank Robin Kincaid, a friend of mine. I said, they convinced me that it's a good idea. And you did. Because I remember calling into the program and telling you, I don't know. And you told me, go ahead and go put it aside. You'll feel better. And you were right. So thank you.
I like it when we get one right once in a while.
Every once in a while.
You know, blind hog, acorn, you know.
Right.
I guess that would be sow now. Wait a minute. That would be sow now. I don't want to misgender myself porcinely.
Give yourself a gunner for that one.
Duly noted.
That was pretty bad. A gunner is in your future there, young lady.
Dave, you have yourself a wonderful evening, and give our best to Christine, okay?
You too, Robin.
And
I will.
And, you know, really, please, take me seriously. No anchovies on the ice cream. Just don't.
Robin, I'm not pregnant. I know that's a news flash, but no, I'm not.
So. All right, you be good. You be good in a van down by the river, Dave.
All right, if I can't be good, I won't get caught.
There we go.
So,
thank you, Dave.
I'll
take care.
You later.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you, Dave. Wonderful call. It takes a little. Sometimes I'm just so glad to know that Christine's making progress. I'm so happy for her. And it takes a little sting out of the monumental stupidity that happens on things like Titanic Tuesday. Because God knows. There's a lot of it. Two things. Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell. And, you know, I say Mr. Meth Pillow because back in my brewing beer days, I was into hops and, you know, really beer nerding. It's before my palate became absolutely disgusted with IPAs, and I was making beers with front end loaders full of hops. Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa says, it's always great to hear from Mankind, Dave. It is. It is wonderful. And so I tried to grow hops. And they, you know, among other things, they said, you know, for some reason or another, the best fertilizer for growing hops is sheep manure. Yes, yes. I'll bet you there'll never be a segment on Megyn Kelly's program where they talk about growing hops in sheep manure. Because this is professional radio. So anyway, and hops are amazing because and people who like live in hops growing country can tell you, the stuff grows amazingly quickly. in the height of summer. It's almost like you can sit there and watch it move down the trellis. And along the way, I found out about hop pillows. You can make pillows and fill them full of hops. And they will apparently give you some interesting dreams. Mine are already interesting enough. They've calmed down a little bit. They really have. They've calmed down a little bit in the last 10 months. Don't know why. But I call him Mr. Meth Pillow because he's a former meth kind of guy, and he's a methed up guy and crystal Methodist. And well, Mr. Meth Pillow has made a declaration. The official date of Nitwit Nero's new inauguration is, and I wish I was joking about this because there are far too many millions of Americans who actually believe this mad shit. There's going to be an inauguration. I mean, Harold Camping has nothing on Mr. Meth Pillow, because when this date comes and goes, it's like, well, you know, I looked at the star. I was supposed to read the stars in the southern hemisphere and not so I got to go to Australia and I'll be back. I'll come back. No, I'll stay in this. I'll go to Chile. I don't speak Spanish, but there'll be a new date for the new inauguration. But for now,
by the time the morning of August 13th, it'll be the talk of the world going, hurry up. Let's get this election pulled down. Let's right the right. Let's get these communists out, you know, that they've taken over. And you'll see, when I say that, you know, and they'll say, well, what's going to happen to all the people that were involved? I don't know. Right now, the biggest concern is getting this election pulled down. Donald Trump won. I mean, it's pretty simple. Okay, and there were many down-ticket senators, too, that they did, too, and stuff. You'll find all that out.
August 13th, the new inauguration. The election will be overturned, and the communists will be out. Somewhere along the way, there's got to be an intervention. But, you know, this really just pissed me off. Because I'm so old that I remember being told, when we just politely pointed out that the election was stolen from Al Gore in 2000, get over it! We had to deal with it when Bill Clinton won. Yeah, but this one was stolen. Shut up! Yeah, but what about the Brooks Brothers riot? Fuck you! And these goobers are all over creation. Oh, it hurts us. And there's still, you know, there's still a market for it. This was to some goob by the name of Brandon Howes. I have no idea who he is, but he's got a swirling globe graphic behind him on his green screen, and his hair's all slickety'd back. How do you like my new haircut, Andy? It's all slickety in the back. And what is the production, the pre-show production meeting? Hey, we got Mr. Meth Pillow? Shit, this is going to be a good one. August 13th. But it's not just that this communist government is going to be pulled down on August 13th, really, communist government. Oh, no. No. The cue balls are now convinced that coming up sometime in the fairly near future, maybe August 13th, Nuremberg 2.0 trial. It's on the way. And every governmental official who, using the legitimate powers of government, imposed coronavirus restrictions, the shutdown, will be charged with and convicted of crimes against humanity. Mm. Where we derp one, we derp all. And there's going to be a big Zoom meeting. And they're on the big Zoom meeting, they're going to talk about the secret trial. And the secret trial has been talked about already ad nauseum. On Telegram for QAnon. Oh, my God. Yeah. They've been hustling it since Sunday. And said, share everywhere. The only problem is they only let 100 people in on the Zoom meeting. Because I guess the cue balls couldn't afford to pay for the really big Zoom meeting. And so now, don't go looking for it. You'll probably get something nasty on your computer. There's a Nuremberg 2.0 website. And there's a real live no kidding lawyer with a real live no kidding law license who's hustling this shit. Someone by the name of Rainer Fuhlmich. I wish I was kidding. R-E-I-N-E-R F-U-E-L-L-M-I-C-H. I'm sure here in Merkin it's called Rainer Fuhlmich. You know, just like John Boehner was John became John Boner or Boehner or what the fuck ever. And there's a video, Nuremberg Trials 2.0, and Rainer Fuhlmich stands in front of books, because that always lends an air of so much more gravitas, and says that the pandemic that is still killing people, and the Delta variant that is still spreading like gossip in the Confederacy, it's the coronavirus scandal. Those responsible for it must be criminally prosecuted and sued for civil damages. It's unfolded into probably the greatest crime against humanity ever committed. Dude claims to be licensed, or at least has practiced law in, of course, California. Which is curious because I was always told that the California bar was one of the most difficult bar exams there is. But, of course, he's his claim to fame is that he has worked for or was interviewed by on Facebook. He was interviewed by a former advisor to Nitwit Nero. Concrete plans for this pandemic were made by very rich and powerful people some 10 years ago, among them the Rockefeller Foundation. Ah, come on! You're off your game, Rainer! You didn't even bring in the Illuminati or the Rosicrucians or the Rothschilds. And they gin this crap up out of things. They take a tiny molecule of fact, and they turn it into a giant atomic pile of radioactive falsehood and propaganda. Because once upon a time, the Rockefeller Foundation, as well as other organizations, asked certain questions, like, "What happens if a pandemic hits us?" Which is actually something that reasonably intelligent people do. Because a pandemic can have, as we have seen, a devastating effect on human culture. You know, not just Merca. But the fact that pandemic behavior has been studied is now somehow proof that the pandemic was engineered. When, in fact, maybe they just modeled how stupid the American people can be. Yeah. The cue balls are still waiting for August 13th. The cue balls are still waiting for Hillary to be arrested. The secret door to the secret basement of the secret pedophile torture chamber, sacrifice, altar place. Yet that has yet to be disclosed. I mean, this is so weird for me, because I do kind of have a long memory for things associated with this program. I can't do time and date and moment like Brother Deacon Asa can, who said, by the way, it's always great to hear from Mankind, Dave, and it is. But I remember sitting in the empty by then convention hall of Netroots Nation in New Orleans in 2017. We're a month away from that being 4 years ago, and it feels like yesterday, and we're back to that time thing that I was talking about at the beginning of the program. It can't be 4 years ago, but it was. And we were having a Friday on the front porch, and I had to contact security and Netroots Nation administration and everything. I said, listen, y'all are going to be out partying in New Orleans, but we're going to do Friday on the front porch. What's that? And I explained. And it was August of 2017 when we had our first long-form conversation about what the fuck is QAnon. And I remember it vividly. All of us sort of going back and forth, but, huh, what? Because it was already an up-and-going concern by then, and gathering steam, and we had no idea, well, maybe some idea, of just how ludicrously toxic it would become. 4 years later, so much change. So much water over dams and under bridges. So many gone. So many American lives needlessly wasted to a pandemic. And what back then seemed like just pure lunatic for the lunatic fringe of the right wing, morphed and was at that time morphing, had already morphed, I'm not sure which verb tense, into something more toxic than we had imagined. And it would grow and grow. And it would feed on every bizarre thing until it obtained the power to literally make people kill themselves. Because a lot of the people who died, many of them were not at fault, but many of them also died because they said that because they believed a man who told them that the vaccine would be gone, or not vaccine, but that the virus would be gone as soon as it warmed up outside. And we have borne witness to things that previous generations of Americans would have wept to even think we were capable of, how stupid we were capable of being. And I just pondered that earlier today. This whoever it is that is behind this crap, and it's all kind of open sourced now. Anybody can be Q. But they so thoroughly mastered this madness that they got people to kill themselves. It's Jonestown writ large. And it doesn't seem to be going away. And from what's her name to what's his name to this latest lawyer, you know, Ron in Raleigh says, wait a minute, I may be mistaken, but don't lawyers have some sort of ethics standards? So can lawyers spout any bullshit without being called on the carpet? By the way, Congress has no HR department, so anything goes. AOC should borrow a set of brass knuckles and give Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber 5 across the eyes. That is strictly metaphorical, Agent Fred, in case you're wondering, Agent Fred. Mm-hmm. And by the way, as we come up to the wrapping point of this program, I'm so sorry I'm going to be gone tomorrow. But I can't control some of these appointments. I try to get everything up and done in the morning or early afternoon so I can be back. But this one was not possible. And there's a lot going on this. By the way, in response to the challenges on the table, I had a note from Dave number 11 who said, the 21 stalks of straw challenge. If somebody comes up with $20, I'll pick up the 21. And that will mean that the challenges will have been met for the evening. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so kindly. That's most helpful. So maybe that'll happen in the next 20 minutes. A little bit of conversation time left if you want to jump in. But by the way, there's also a shit ton of other Titanic stuff to go into. One of which has to do with Adam Kinzinger. Now, he's a Republican from Illinois. He is probably, alongside Dick and a Wig Cheney, the leading anti-Trump Republicans, trying desperately to get his fellow maggots, or the maggot Republicans, to stop saying the quiet part out loud and let them get back to the toxic America-destroying Republican Party that they knew and, by God, loved. He was interviewed by the New York Times Magazine. The New York Times Magazine wanted to know about his support for further and ongoing investigation of the January 6th insurrection. David Marchese interviewed him, and he said, I also want to know what members of Congress knew and were involved in prior to this happening. In the interview, he's asked, do you suspect that some members of Congress were aware of what was going to happen that day and supported it? And this adds a greater weight, I think it sincerely does, to other things that we already knew. I won't name names. Why not? But yes, I do have that suspicion. I will say, if you just looked at Twitter, the whole reason I brought my gun and kept my staff home and told my wife to stay in the apartment was looking at Twitter. I saw the threats. But he did name names. He said, of course, that Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, Clanny Oakley, sent out a tweet the day of the riot, today is 1776. Lauren Bobblehead Boebert Clanny Oakley wrote. This is 1776. A woman who waited tables with a gun on her hip in Colorado. Well, what's brunch on Sundays at the Rimfire Grill or whatever the fuck it is? Oh, well, that's June 6, 1944. But of her, today is 1776, quote, Adam Kinzinger said, I don't know what that meant other than this is the time for revolution. Maybe it was a dumb tweet and she didn't mean that. But fine, I'll give her that credit for now. But if you have members of Congress who are involved in nurturing an insurrection, heck yeah, we need to know. Okay, we need to know. What happens after we know? What happens after we know doesn't matter unless we start cleaning the place up. And took a gun to work with him in the Capitol of the United States because, you know, members of Congress at that point in time got to walk around the magnetometers. And, you know, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball, Mo Brooks, Les Brains, Josh Hawley, who knows? But the worm is deep in the apple. And there's that old joke about what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm. Well, we're at the half a worm stage, maybe. And maybe it's something like a paramecium that can just grow back into a whole nother worm. Ugh. So, when do we take this seriously? Because I know, I know Speaker Pelosi has impaneled the Select Committee. I desperately want there to be consequences for having stopped it, for the Republicans having stopped it in the House. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting few months. You know, this is July. We have 25 days left in July, and then it's goodbye Congress for the August recess. So when does this get going? Oh, and now we know, by the way, when or where that notion came from, that it wasn't really supporters of Donald Trump, it was the Antifa BLM Rosicrucian insurrection. Right. Well, on January 6th, according to an FBI affidavit, a man from Virginia who was arrested in connection with the insurrection was dressed all in black, trying to look like, and this is how the show kind of loops back on itself, all in black, trying to look like Antifa. Man from Virginia. I wonder who that might have been. Why, that was Fai Duong. The guy we talked about at the beginning of the program, who said he wanted to leave a message for his son and in case he had to shoot it out with the federales. And he tried to create the impression that Antifa was behind it all. He probably didn't have the level of organization that he really needed, considering the number of Trump 2020 banners and people in red hats. And Jesus, I'm looking at a photo and somebody's flying the Korean flag. How does that happen? Really? But at least we know where that madness came from. Well, hi. My granddaughter's in the studio.
Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Love you. They're out playing in the sunshine in the yard, and Ferg just brought her in. There's some in the freezer. Fai Duong tried to get rid of his surveillance footage because he was going to continue surveilling the building for the next attack. And here's the thing, and this is part of what drives drives Flavio bananas that he was referring to earlier. From the story copy, Duong isn't charged with plotting any violence, however, and prosecutors didn't seek his pretrial detention after he was arrested on Friday. He was freed after his initial court appearance. But a woman whose only crime was trying to protect the ability of human beings to live on this planet and to do so nonviolently is going to do 8 years in the federal sneezer. And in the meantime, as we wrap up the program, still waiting for the very last part, or the last part of Dave number 11's 21 stalks of straw challenge to be met. And this gets really painful at this, just trying to come up with $20. So it would be wonderful if in the next 10 minutes or so that could happen. I told you it was going to be an epic Titanic Tuesday. And it has been. Good God. And we will wrap up. Okay, a little bit more cue ball madness. JFK Jr. still alive. No, really. A woman was seen at a July 4th celebration wearing a T-shirt that read Trump Kennedy 2021, and interviewing her, well, you know now what she said. Yeah, here.
Trump Kennedy 2021. What does that shirt mean?
I think that JFK Jr. is still alive.
The guy who died in the plane crash in the late 90s? I think he's still alive.
I do.
And he's going to come back and be president with Trump in this year?
I hope so.
But how would Trump become president this year? There would be a new election?
There's a lot of things I think have happened, and there's some things I think I know and a lot of things I don't.
Okay. And one thing you do know is John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive?
That's what I believe.
Okay. Do you want to bet on it? I'll bet $100 that JFK Jr. doesn't come back from the dead. I'll bet $100 that he's not alive. You bet $100?
She takes the bet.
Great.
Okay.
Sweet. Trump.
Yeah, so I don't know how he's going to collect that. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene says, I'll cover the 20 and put another $20 challenge for 40. So thank you. Thank you, Darlene, for meeting Dave's challenge. That means that the previous three challenges are met. And with another 20, that'll actually mean that we raised $100 this evening, which is pretty darn huge. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. And 8 minutes to come up with another 20. Thank you, Darlene. So there we are. And I kind of admire the people who go out and ask these maggots these questions. Davram Stiefler was the one interviewing her. And here's the part that I can't sort out. Not that anybody really can, because crazy. But this is the part I can't sort out. Why in God's name would JFK Jr. align himself with Donald Trump? Donald Trump's a Republican. JFK Jr. was so not a Republican. I mean, the son of a great Democratic president. Please. And how does that information? I mean, she's not this woman in the Trump Kennedy 2021 T-shirt. She's not drooling or anything. She's not picking her teeth with her toenail clippings. She's got her Merkin flag ball cap on and some probably, they look like rather expensive sunglasses. They look like Revo's. I used to care about, I was as an optician. And see? I mean, God, I remember where I was when the plane went down. And I remembered a good buddy of mine who was an air traffic controller explaining to me how that happens and asking, you know, why do the, and he did not like private pilots, especially new ones, as an air traffic controller. He said, new private pilots are the most dangerous human beings on planet Earth. And he talked about, you know, getting disoriented and your plane turning upside down and not realizing you're flying along upside down until the next thing you know you're in the water. And when you hit the water at 150 miles an hour, it's really not water anymore. It's concrete. Well, that's a good point. Jude in the Great Northwest says he should have asked her who JFK, who is JFK Jr. Oh, it hurts. Oh, and thank you, Brendan. Brendan met Darlene's challenge. Thank you, Brendan. That means so very much. And so we crossed the $100 mark. So when I get back Thursday, we'll only be at like $500, which is huge. So, you know, JFK. I almost wish a member, you know, maybe Caroline could find this lady. I saw the body when we put it in the dirt. Pay the man the $100. And so by way of wrapping up, this. Mo Brooks, less brains. Nitwit Nero has already endorsed Mo Brooks, less brains. For the Republican Senate nomination in Alabama. Others are running as... please, Jesus, let Roy Tolamore run, too. Let Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions, the turd, run as well. Let some dude standing on an old banana crate outside Corner Fruit in Florence, Alabama, run, too. I want them all out there. I want to dilute the out of that vote, and I want 2017 all over again. But he's got a problem because, on the one hand, he has to keep abasing himself before Nitwit Nero because he done got the endorsement and he doesn't want it pulled back or anything. But he also now has to answer a civil suit filed by Representative Sewell over being a part of the inflaming the January 6th insurrection. So he's answered. And in a new court filing, the answer to the complaint, Mo Brooks, less brains, is pettifogger, says, Brooks only gave the ELIP speech because the White House asked him to in his capacity as a United States congressman. See, that language in there is trying to get him into the speech and debate clause. But for the White House request, Brooks would not have appeared at the ELIP rally. But then, this is another one of those, how does a lawyer keep his license and put his name on shit like this? The pettifogger who signed the answer, say, and his signature stands under Rule 11 as a statement that his the claims set forth in the pleading are true and accurate to the best of his knowledge, and where stated upon information and belief that he believes in, whatever, and you know, can't deliberately lie to the court. He said, the evidence is overwhelming that the November 3rd, 2020 elections were the subject of voter fraud and election theft on a scale never seen before in America, and that if only lawful votes cast by eligible American citizens were counted, Donald Trump should be serving his second term as president of the United States. Why does that lawyer have a license? Really? Why? And so, on the one hand, you got Mo Brooks, less brains, saying, only did it, I was only following orders, which, curiously enough, was the defense in Nuremberg 1.0. But I wouldn't have never gone there and said what it done said if they hadn't done asked me to said it by the White House. And by the White House, I mean my God, Emperor Trump. This, then, is a classic case of wanting your shit and eating it too. Well, there went dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. Because you got to eat that shit sandwich when Nitwit Nero hands it to you. But at the same time, you want to be able to say, no, it ain't my shit. That's Nitwit Nero's shit. I wouldn't have done that if they hadn't have told me to. Because I do everything I'm told. You know, that's some real, you know, age 6 mama teaching you how to get through life stuff. Yeah, but my friends are doing it. Well, honey, if your friends were all jumping off the O'Neill Bridge to their death, would you do it too? Well, if Donald Trump told me to, I would. I mentioned the O'Neill Bridge because that's a span that is in the district of Mo Brooks, Les Brains. Mm-hmm. So there we are. This was truly an epic Titanic Tuesday. And we covered a bunch of ground. And I'm glad we did, because I'm gonna be lonesome tomorrow. But I'm gonna be thrilled to be back on Thursday. Thank you, each and every one. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you to Dave, number 11. Thank you to Darlene. Thank you to Brendan. Thank you so much, Steve in New York, and Ralphs, and Joey and Jeffrey. We hit a little lick tonight, and that helps a lot. And thanks to each and every one of you who helped keep the program on the air with your kind subscriptions at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you for each and every one of our a la carte contributors who, you know, this merry little band that keeps the program going for thousands of people. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you so very kindly. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan, also in the chat room. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to catch the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you can. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. Encourage people who are unvaccinated to please get vaccinated so we can get past this madness. In the meantime, use all your first line of defenses. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your gloves if need be. Carry your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. I like the spray stuff. Instead of the goo, just and it works and it dissipates quickly. I like that. I carry it everywhere, really. Maintain your social distance among the unvaccinated. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes up to you saying, you know what? August 13th, Donald Trump's going to be back in office. Avoid that person like the plague, because he is. And you don't want to be anywhere near anybody with a pocket full of meth. Later.